A popular Outcast production.
Hey guys, this is Sound of Life Podcast. If you like the show, and you can find your way to soundoflife.popularoutcast.com, or just go to popularoutcast.com, clear your cookies, click on the little Amazon banner, buy what you would want from Amazon as normal, and the guys will get a couple cents and help to keep this show, as well as all the others that they put out, free for you.
I am hope.
I am hope.
I am Esperanza.
I am hope. This is the Sound of Life podcast.
I am Old School Mike.
This is Sound of Life.
12-year-old Dre.
I am Old School Mike. This is Sound of Life.
This is the Sound of Life podcast. This is Sound of Life.
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 I am 12-year-old Drea.
Hey there, I'm Kyle Stevens from Kirby Crackle, and you are listening to the Sound of Life podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Sound of Life, episode 12. Sounds Like You, the Kirby Crackle interview. We had a chance to sit down with Kyle Stevens from the nerd rock band Kirby Crackle, and you will get to hear some awesome brand new music from them, some awesome old music from them, and just awesome music in general. And so, with no further ado, kick back, relax, and open your ear holes, and let the goodness of episode 12 wash through your brain. Thanks. So we are joined today with Kyle Stevens from Kirby Crackle, and Kirby Crackle is an indie nerd rock band from Seattle. Lots of comic book and video game references about. You guys, the first album was self-titled, and that came out in 2009, right?
Yeah, man, it came out in 2009. We wrote it in the last 6 months of 2008, and then debuted it at the New York City Comic Con, actually, in January that year. So we were... First time to New York was in this kind of blizzard time. It was fun.
Oh, wow. Well, that's cool. And then that is followed up by E for Everyone, which came in 2010. 2011 brought us Superpowered Love. And 2012, you dropped Live in Seattle, which you recorded at your own little Crackle Fest, right?
Yeah. Crackle Fest is the annual concert that we put on at it's kind of like our flagship show of the year that we put on at the Emerald City Comic Con. And we always have a rotating cast of who we feel are the most fun in nerd rock and geek rock, or just nerd music at the time. And it's always so hard to pick the lineup because there's so many great people and so many people that we're friends with, who we're lucky enough to have as friends and artists we respect, that we kind of have to draw straws sometimes to see who's going to be there. But
gotcha.
We always have the best time there, and we want to bring that experience to the fans via the live CD.
Awesome. Well, that leads us into Sounds Like You, right? Which is the new album just about to drop. Why don't you give us some details on that?
Well, it sounds like you came about after... Well, last year, like we talked about, we didn't put out a studio album. We took a year off because we had just been kind of burning the candle with all the touring and all the conventions. And and we could have done an album last year, but we kind of wanted to sit on stuff a little bit more and let some new ideas fester. And It Sounds Like You is not a new direction for us, but it's kind of an evolved sound, both musically and thematically, I feel like, where we're not only singing about comic books and video games, but we're singing about the lives of people that enjoy comic books and video games, and just kind of what it is to be a member of geek life and a lover of pop culture in 2013. So it's a little turn of the dial from what we've done in the past, but we're still definitely, I mean, it still sounds like Kirby Crackle, but we're just trying to challenge our listeners a little bit more with the track listing for this album.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, well, you were kind enough to send us along, you know, an advance link so we could hear it. And it really is good.
Cool. Thank you, man.
You know,
it
features content from, I mean, it really runs the gamut. You got, you know, you got stuff about Twitter and comics, Luke Skywalker, you know, visiting your grandma's house, Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Love, yeah, tacos, yeah, and TV. I mean, it really runs the gamut, dude.
If you like, if you like, so put that goodness to your lips, 'cause life is better when it's served with chips. Put those tortillas in the pan. It's taco nights here, night than you and me could be friends.
Thanks, man. Yeah, taco night was a fun one to do. That was actually a song that, long story short, I did this kind of songwriting challenge in February. The challenge was to write 20 songs in 12 hours.
Yes.
And, I didn't get the 20 songs because I didn't even know where I was at the end of 12 hours. But what the exercise was to not be precious about things and just have like a creative burst. And so Taco Night is the one song that survived from that, and I wanted to put on the Kirby Crackle album because it's just kind of like a celebratory song about the food that most of us really, really like.
Yeah, no, that's awesome though, man. And that, the whole idea of that, you know, I mean, trying to craft that many songs in that short period of time has got to kind of be, you know, it's a little crazy, really. The average, I mean, what would be average for you in normally crafting a song for Kirby Crackle? Is it something that comes out quick, or is it something that you really dwell on?
You know, it kind of all depends. I used to be way more precious about it in my younger years. I'd have to get it perfect. And then what ends up happening with most artists, the more time you put into it past just the creative birth and realization of what you're trying to do, the more it's kind of diluted. So what I really like a lot of those songs off that experiment because it was just kind of like, bleh, out there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Taco Night was. And tried to keep some of that vibe for the new record. But, you know, we put a lot more time into detailing the songs out, of course, than I did with the experiment. But really behind it all is like, does this make us feel good? Does it feel cool to play this song? Are we excited to play it on stage? And if the answer was no, then we wouldn't even go past that point. And that was something kind of new too, instead of getting to the point where we've worked on a song for a couple of weeks with the full band. And everyone's just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if it didn't make us really excited from the get-go, then we wouldn't do it. And that was kind of the standard we had to have to make sure that energy was thusly translated to the listener.
Cool. Well, I have a couple standouts from listening to the, you know, to the album. You know, the same thing. Is just a really awesomely crafted song. It's just, it's really neat. It's kind of, I don't know. I mean, kind of in a way, it's, you know, as opposed to the, you know, the nerd and geek culture that normally flows through a Kirby Crackle record. It kind of just seemed bigger than that, almost. You know what I mean? Almost an anthem for life.
Got more than we can handle. You've got 1,000 friends, but who would come and help?
you know, that's what it's supposed to be. You know, I appreciate you saying that and recognizing that. That's one of those songs that I wonder how it's going to be received. I think, like, you know, the ones that we feel like are heavy hitters, like Grandma's House, One More Episode, stuff that is a little more definitive.
Mm-hmm.
But with the same thing, that was something that I felt like I was a little scared to put that on the record. And because I was a little scared to, that's how I knew we were supposed to. And it's about just kind of like celebrating yourself and celebrating everyone's differences. And, you know, in the end, we all want the same thing. So everyone needs to shut up, kind of.
Yeah, no, completely.
This is what we're trying to do. And you know, it originally started from, you know, when you talk about, and I appreciate that compliment. I take it as a compliment, but something bigger. It was about originally kind of the infighting in nerd culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the infighting of, like, you know, what is a geek? What is not a geek? And then I just thought, okay, I like that. I want to stick with that. Let's take on this whole other awareness that's also happening in pop culture and society right now.
Sure.
And the big change that's happening, you know, with the Supreme Court decisions and everything that's just, you know, as I view it, is really positive. So I feel like a good timing for us for that song to come out, because it feels relevant to now. And so that's what I was excited about. So I appreciate you enjoying that one.
No, that's really cool, man. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan myself, too. I mean, I have Spider-Man tattoos and Stan Lee's autograph tattooed on my arm and stuff like that. So Web Slinger Hopebringer is a good one for me as well. When I went and did the wrong thing right, stood and watched like a spider on the wall. Doing nothing made my whole world fall down. My wife is a teacher, and when she gets home from school, like, she kicks her heels off and she gets into her really comfy sweatpants and stuff. So Cozy Pants O'Clock is another song on the album, and it just really struck a chord with me.
Cool. Yeah, thanks. So that's kind of, you know, like when we played the demos for our friends, just kind of sat there and they were listening to them before we even recorded. And we said, okay, this is what we're trying to do kind of with our, you know, our inner circle buddies. And someone looked at me and said, it sounds like someone in their 30s who just gave up. And so I thought that was really funny. But I think what they meant is, you know, someone recently referenced it as comfort comedy. And I'm like, oh, I can go with that. Like, it's just kind of, it's kind of about the things that are exciting. And this will sound kind of weird, and I don't want to come up ungrateful for the opportunities we've had or anything. But when we've been going, like, you know, 3 cons in a month or tours and all this kind of stuff like that. I mean, that's all really fun and exciting, but also it makes the simple things, such as coming home and putting on your cozy pants, that much more fun.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
If you kind of get what I'm saying. So,
no, I do completely.
I had a passion behind that. I mean, you know, everyone knows who works hard all day, and you come home and you hit that decompressed point, and that's kind of like and that's something to be celebrated too. And we didn't think, you know, that no one had done a Cozy Pants song. So we thought that would be fun, and it makes us laugh, and that's kind of the standard. But it's also, you know, we're serious about it, and there's some joy behind singing that for us. Clocked out of work, what to do? Nothing on my mind but getting through. Traffic home quick and staying in for the night. Check TV and there's nothing on. Pour a cold pint to my favorite song. Catch up on blogs and tweets missed from the day. Hooray. And it's plain to see the simple joy it brings when there's nothing left to do but share the day. Cause it's Cozy Pants O'Clock. It feels so good to put on those soft pants. Slip on your woolly socks. Sit back, relax, now and savor the moment. Cozy Pants O'Clock. Whoa! And it feels fantastic. Cozy Pants O'Clock. Whoa! I like stretchy elastic.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone else, do a song quite about that topic. So
maybe for good reason, but I don't
know. No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it's funny. I played it for my wife too, and she was like, "Oh, that is so me."
Yeah, and that's why we called the album "Sounds Like You," because when we start showing these songs to people, like when we debuted the Grandma's House or the Cozy Camp song, or for one more episode off the record about marathon TV watching, people say, "Oh, that sounds just like me." And that's what it is. It sounds like what we feel is the reflection of our life and your life and listeners' lives, and just kind of the common theme that's going on right now, what we thought would be really exciting to try to put to a soundtrack.
Oh, that's really good. And if any of our fans get the opportunity to see you play live, I have not seen the whole band, but I was at Comic-Con last year and saw you on the WB stage. I fought my way up to the front row and was yelling at you. Watched Kevin Smith and MC Front a lot afterwards. So it was a really neat show, though.
Thanks. It was fun. I mean, I'm so excited to be bringing the full band to San Diego this year. We're psyched about it. And that stage was really fun last year. Kind of funny story. I felt so stupid in the backstage. There were all these people walking around, like, smoking and looking kind of like LA actor type. And I said, "Oh, what are you guys here for?" And they go, "I'm in a show called The Big Bang Theory." And I looked at the guy, and of course, I've never seen these people in real
person.
Life before.
Yeah.
I didn't really recognize them off a person, and they didn't look at all like their characters. Their hair was different. And I just looked around, and I had this realization, like, I'm the only one here who didn't figure that out.
Well, it was pretty neat too, because I mean, essentially, you were Kevin Smith's opening act, and I mean, as far as Comic-Con goes, there's almost no one bigger than that guy.
Yeah, he's one of the kings, that's for sure. And people come out and drove.
As far as Kirby Crackle and then the music is concerned, I have to give you kudos, because it is really enjoyable for a broad spectrum of ages. Yeah, my son is 8 years old. And my daughter, my co-host, Drea, is 12. My other co-host is 17, and I am 37. And we all enjoy different parts, or, you know, like, we all enjoy the music for different reasons. I can only venture to imagine, because we don't necessarily agree on everything as far as music goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
But that's, I mean, that is very interesting. Do you find that you hear that a lot, or?
I hear that, I wouldn't say all the time, but I hear it more than I expected to, I think, when we started. But I think, I don't know, people said that we kind of have a 90s sound, which is probably accurate. I mean, because that's my musical DNA. I was 13 in Seattle when the whole kind of Seattle thing busted out.
Okay.
So to me, that was like in my formative years of like 12 to 15, I just soaked all that stuff in. So when that attaches to you that young, like, I don't think you could totally get rid of it. So I think sometimes there's just a rock and roll simplicity that we're lucky to have translate through different age groups. And also, you know, like, we're happy dudes. We're not thinking about bubblegum and rainbows all the time, but it's generally a positive vibe that we try to put out. And so if that is something that kind of connects different generations, I'm very thankful about that.
Sure, I can understand that. Well, that's going to lead us, being we're talking about different generations, that's going to lead us into Drea. I think she has a question or two, so I'm going to kick the microphone her way.
How or where do you, like, well, I know where, but how do you get all of these inspirations for the songs?
How do I get inspirations from the song? I get inspirations from more and more things that I see or stories that I hear. To me, I just think, like, everyday stuff is more and more exciting, hence the kind of, like, cozy pants stuff or marathon TV watching. I'll tell you, but when I feel like, oh, maybe that's a little too silly to do, or, let me see what I'm trying to say here. when I feel like I'm getting away with something, kind of, and it makes me laugh, and that the guys are going to go, "Oh man, are you serious?" when I show them.
Yeah.
That gives me inspiration. There's something about the thought of being a little tricky with the song that makes me laugh, and I hope translates to other people. And I mean, the Grandma's House song that we have, as far as I know, and I looked far and wide, there's never been a Grandma's House song. So the moment I realized that, I was inspired to write a song that translated to everyone's experience of the challenge was to appeal to everyone whose grandmas are still with us or not with us. the memories they had growing up with them, and just to bring back that feeling of going to grandma's house, which for me was always exciting. So
yeah,
most of the time if something makes me feel good versus, oh, what is it cool to do, which I don't really care about that anymore. I used to really care. But now it's just like, what makes me smile? And so that's mostly the inspiration.
Cool.
It's party time at ladies tonight. And by party time, I mean hit stories from 1939. She makes jam in the AM. She makes ham in a cataract Ray-Bans. She know me ever since I used to use crayons. My mama is a baby that she made. It's party time. And my ladies tonight. And by party time, I mean go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. She got moves like what? She can't hear, so she always says what? When I was little, she would spank me on my butt and wash my mouth with soap. At 89, yeah, she still has it. Buy her begonias and she'll plant it. Whoa-oh, whoa-oh. Hats in the house, yeah, she can't stand it. She's like my matriarchal habit. I'm going to grandma's house, and we're going to have a good time of cookies in our mouth.
Okay, well, I just think that it's really cool because normal, like, most singers, they just sing about love, they do rap, and, like, stuff like that. I think that it's really cool that you guys can, like, put TV shows and comics and all that kind of stuff into a song about love or rap or anything that you guys choose to do.
Thank you very much. That's really nice to say. We can't write comics, right? We can't draw and we can't write comics. So by doing songs about our comics, that is kind of our way to play within that world of comics and video games. And for me, the comics that have always really appealed to me are the ones where someone just isn't writing about Spider-Man fighting people, but he's writing about Spider-Man's hopes and dreams and what he's scared of and kind of what he hopes to make for himself. And to me, that is, you know, that's love. That is trying to be a good person and caring about other people.
Yeah.
And so that's what we try to put in our songs. When we write a song about Spider-Man, we don't want it to just be about, you know, the lyrics about Spider-Man beating people up, but it's about what kind of makes Spider-Man tick. And truthfully, I feel like at the center of all creativity is love. So I think that's why you kind of hear a lot of songs about love, but just, you know, a lot of times it's just like boy-girl or boy-boy, girl-girl love. But for us, we want it to be kind of about everything.
Yeah. Okay, and my last question is, who is your favorite superhero?
Good one.
My favorite superhero, that is a very good question. My favorite superhero is Wolverine, because when I was little, when I was 8 years old, my mom made me Wolverine claws out of foil. And so she had a little bandage around my hand and a styrofoam claw that came out, and they were wrapped with foil. And then she even put little blood spots on it to make it look like I popped my claws. And still to this day, I'll still sometimes try to pop my claws, but I don't know if I'm doing it right. It never really works.
That is is a really neat mother-son bonding story, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I still have them, too. It's like I recently moved. I was worried they got crushed, and I was kind of freaking out. But I still have them, and there's a, I don't know, maybe I'll put a picture on our website one day. There's a picture of me at that age, like, with the sideburns and, like, eyeshadow and stuff. It was pretty cool. Mom was pretty cool to do that, I have to say.
That is pretty neat. Well, Drea's questioning reminded me of something. The only part of Sounds Like You that I didn't like, and it isn't, yeah, it's just a criticism because I'm a huge old school rap fan. I go by Old School Mike,
yeah,
because of that fact. No hip-hop influence,
right,
on the new album, man. I was kind of bummed out by that.
Ah, I hear you. I hear you. You know what? I don't take offense to that at all. I'm glad you told me. It's one of those things where we had the grouping of songs that went together, and then I noticed that. Like, there's no hip-hop songs on here. And then I thought, okay, do I just want to throw a hip-hop song in there for that reason, or am I just going to kind of let this go? And I decided to just kind of let it go, and not that we've ever, like, abandoned anything. I mean, Roll Over is one of my favorite songs to play live. We will never not play that song
Yeah.
live. And so, you know, there's, to me, you know, though not hip hop, to me, Grandma's House fills that kind of funkiness this record. But I mean, yeah, true, not a true hip hop thing, which is funny because I was listening to a lot of Macklemore during the making of this CD. So you'd think it would have been able to pop in somewhere, but I don't know. We'll have to maybe do a single in the future. I'll keep that in mind.
Oh, that's cool though. No, I mean, and like I say, well, you know, I mean, that being the only criticism I had for the album, I'd have to say that was pretty good. I find myself not liking any new album that I obtain. Like, I'll like a single, and then I really have to force myself to listen to an album like 100 times to really like it and appreciate it. And I've listened to this numerous times over, so but kudos to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, you were saying that, you know, you were young when the whole Seattle thing started and, you know, grunge came about and all that kind of stuff, but what are some of your musical influences, or what do you listen to now?
Well, to me, kind of the inspiration for part of Sounds Like You, kind of diverting a little bit, writing songs about storylines of people's lives for half of it, really came from being, I mean, I dug deep into that new Macklemore record. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but he's kind of a local guy, done good, and I think he has really set a new bar for saying the things that need to be said in a way that appeals to everyone.
Yeah, that's very,
very positive.
True.
And so I was really inspired by that. Like, but at the same time, you know, I was listening to the new Soundgarden record a lot, which I think is killer, more killer than anything they even put out before. And I'm a huge Soundgarden fan.
Okay.
And that's where that North of the Wall song was written. When you listen to that and then you remember I said that, you go, oh yeah. you can tell that was, it's just dirty and nasty sounding. But I find because we practice, you know, many times a week and do shows and are always writing hard rock stuff. I've been listening to a lot of, there's a band called The Wheaties, which is like a husband and wife kind of folk duo. And to me, I've been really interested in what sounds delicate and stuff like kind of a mix of what's delicate and then also on the hip hop end, what's really groove oriented, which is why it's so fun to finally have a song like Grandma's House. I mean, kind of to go back to what inspired you, I'll listen to songs and say, okay, I don't want to copy that, but I want to be able to have, you know, what are referred to as a tool like that.
Yes.
And we go up on stage, your songs are your toolbox. And, you know, if the crowd's really into it, I want to have a selection of things to choose from to alter the set list or bring the vibe up or bring it down. And so, you know, I just can't wait to get out on the road and play Grandma's House and just kind of have that funk hip-hop vibe that I've been wanting to experience on stage for some time. So it's kind of like that's how I think of stuff now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And this might be a little bit of a trick question, but if you had to pick one song from, you know, your discography, if you will, that showcases the music of Kirby Crackle best, what would it be? Or is that kind of like picking your favorite child?
It's kind of like picking my favorite child, but let me think just for a second. I think the song that is the mix of what we do with comics and games and then what we do is kind of social commentary. Like for me, I feel it kind of shows the best of what we do with the song Needing a Miracle off Superpowered Love.
Okay, yeah.
Hey there now, I always remember the time we met in middle September. You had fallen down, and I was there to pick you right back up. That was then. And since that day, you know I've been watching above the clouds, and every so often I can catch your eye. Crashing in when you're needing a miracle.
Wow.
Hey, here's another trick question for you. If you could pick any two celebrities to be your parents, who would they be and why?
Oh, two celebrities and parents. Let's see here. I'm a big Walking Dead. Walking Dead. That's a whole other like USA show. Probably. Walking Dead fan. And so, I think Rick Grimes would be. Though it's not Andrew Lincoln. His name is, I believe,
yes.
In real life. He could be my dad if he was Rick Grimes. And for my mom, I was a big Alias fan.
Okay.
So I think Jennifer Garner could protect me growing up.
Yeah, you'd be a pretty tough kid if you had Rick Grimes and her character from Alias as your parents, man. Although I don't.
I'd probably need someone to balance that out. Actually, like I'd be like non-emotional at all.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well. It might be questionable if Rick Grimes is your parents, because I don't know, Carl is a very disturbed young kid.
Yeah, he's very yeah. There's gonna be some issues, more issues coming out there. I think, poor guy. Yeah, I take it back. Maybe Jason Sudeikis from SNL.
There you go. There you go. Well, awesome. But that is the end of the. That is the end of the trick questions, and pretty much that's what we had for you today, sir. Thank you, and yeah, thank you very much for being on the show. We really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for taking the time to listen and talk about the new record. And if people want to pick it up, they can go to KirbyCracklemusic.com and on iTunes and Bandcamp and physical CDs off our site, all kicking off July 9th. Oh, and then if I may mention, the West Coast Tour is coming up as well.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, West Coast Tour kicks off in Seattle at the Triple Door on the 14th of July. Tickets still available. And then we're heading down through Portland and San Francisco, L.A., San Diego at Comic-Con and Las Vegas. And you can check all those dates on KirbyCracklemusic.com.
Excellent. You have any plans for coming to Florida anytime in the next year or so?
You know, we're in talks of performing at Nerdapalooza, but it's not really official yet.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's a really neat show. I've not ever been to that, but I've heard really good things.
Oh, yeah, it's really, really good. It's a great time, and we'll be happy if it works out.
Excellent. Trey, did you have something to say real quick?
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for your awesome questions.
You're welcome.
Well, Kyle, thank you again, sir, and we will let you get a little bit of a break before you're inundated with many more of these things today. And just thanks again, man.
Thanks a lot, man. You guys take care. We'll see you soon.
Very good. Thank you.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start. I'm trying to unlock your heart from years of walls. And when Hyrule falls, I'm hoping that the things I do are working to connect with you. I see that you're free. Quit my shop. I'd like for you to know my name. They call me Box 138. I think we are due for a walk. Cause like me, you pull from the middle. Skip the books up on the top. So up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start. I'm trying to unlock your heart from years of walls. And when Hyrule falls, I'm hoping that the things I do are working to connect with you. I wish I could know what you dream. Are you flying high without a care? Do people often stop and stare? Cause you're both a girl and a fan. I bet it's hard to join the rest with fanboys staring at your chest. So up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start. I'm trying to unlock your heart from years of walls. But when Hyrule falls, I'm hoping that the things I do are working to connect with you. And even though it's improbable, it seems that this could go my way. I should take a risk, then like Wilson Fisk, be the kingpin of this day. Then you turn around and say hello, and everything's okay. Talked about while sipping on a Guinness down until we drove back to your place. I said we should do it again. That's when you stabbed me with a pin because you planned to murder me. Cause you've been stalking me for weeks and then you shoved me in your house.
dream where you got me like Wolverine. This day to turn out kinda sucky. I thought I was getting lucky, not cut up in little bits and served up as your favorite dish. She's a man eater, I'm toast, just like the song from Hall & Oates. Influenced by the Temptations, played on the 60s in every station. I don't know where the song will end, but I don't care because I'm dead.
Hey guys, this is Sound of Life Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, and if you do, rate and review.
On Twitter at SOL Podcast. Tweet, tweet.
Or you can check us out. We're on Facebook called The Sound of Life.
Or you can always find us at popularoutcast.com. Look for The Sound of Life little thing and click it. Or you can reach out and touch us at soundoflifepodcast@gmail.com. Or better yet, you can leave us a voicemail at 1-612-56-SOUND. Or 1-612-56-76-863 if you have a smartphone that does not have the little letters attached. So that's our spiel. Thanks, guys.
Bye.